Thursday is the day we read from your email.
And we'll begin with response to Andrea Seabrook's story about the military's new rules for war reporters and photographers. Embedded journalists now need to get permission from each soldier they name in a story or photo. In the past, troops were just given the ability to opt out of news coverage. This comment comes from Tom Dyson of Scottsdale, Arizona.
As a veteran, I was told hundreds of times during my service that I had given up my privacy and my civil rights when I signed the papers to join up, says Dyson. I believe that these soldiers are valiant warriors, but to imply that the truth should not be told is to disrespect them, the citizens of this country, and the democracy they are sworn to serve.
Army veteran Peter Schussler of Savannah, Georgia, has a different view. He writes, "To think that the military's policy of getting a release from individual soldiers is a political move is absolutely absurd. That policy has nothing but the soldiers' well-being in mind and only helps solidify their loyalty. It is stories like these that make soldiers distrust the press." He goes on, "I feel that the press is an integral part of our democratic society, and the public does have a right to know. But they don't necessarily need the information in real time or need to know the name of the person to understand the war."
A correction now to my interview with Democratic Congressman Earl Blumenauer of Oregon. He introduced a bill that would help displaced Iraqis find refuge in the U.S., especially those who work for the American government and international organizations. Well, the congressman's office emailed to let us know that he misspoke when he said that there are as many as 70,000 people a day leaving their homes in Iraq. According to his staff, Congressman Blumenauer meant to say that figure is per month, and that does square with UN estimates.
Last week, we heard some reactions to the federal government's plan to build a fence along the border with Mexico.
If people are willing to travel through the deserts of Arizona to come work in the United States of America, you think they're not going to be able to jump a fence? It does not make sense to spend this money this way.
That's J.D. Salinas, judge and administrator for Hidalgo County in the Rio Grande Valley in Texas. He's one of a number of people there with doubts about the fence.
Great story, writes Tim Sullivan of Mission, Texas. No one is more familiar with these issues than the elected officials, business people, labor groups, law enforcement authorities, and community activists who live here. And this is one issue they all agree on, that border fencing will not stop illegal activity, especially in the Rio Grande Valley, where city borders and private ranch and farmland stretch right up to the river.
That's the voice of Ryan Shaw, the young soul singer who Michelle spoke with last week.
And after hearing the interview, John Drake of Irving, Texas, found something he needed.
Drake writes, "Shaw inspired me to bypass the turnoff to my home and steer directly to the music store. A few moments later, I was once again heading home, but this time while listening to some of the best R&B music I've bought in a long time. I was once again thankful for all things considered as well."
Whether you're thankful or hopping mad, write to us. Go to npr.org and click on Contact Us at the top of the page.